On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast. I am Kate Majuk. You can follow me on Twitter at FFBallBlast. And as always, I'm joined by Marcus Mosier. You could follow him on Twitter at Marcus_Mosier. Give the show a follow on Twitter at Locked On Dynasty. Hit that subscribe button wherever you listen. And if you haven't yet, checked out the YouTube channel. You got to do that. You got to check out the Locked On Dynasty Football YouTube channel. We are here recording all of our shows here for your viewing pleasure. Be sure to hit that subscribe and the little bell so you never miss a show. Marcus.
So babe, we're going to do some Thursday night takeaways, right?
Oh, yes, we are. We saw some very interesting football. The Jalen Hurts roller coaster continues. I said last week, I believe this was last week, that my concern for Jalen Hurts comes more from, is the team going to be remain committed for him? Because obviously he had a very, very poor showing last night and still scored over 20 fantasy points. He's like a must start. He's a lock for your lineups at this point. But again, the concern for Jalen Hurts on a long-term basis, he's all but dead and then has the fourth quarter resurgence. They almost came back. They had a chance. If there wasn't that that taunting at the end of the game set them back, I do think they would have had a shot at this one. But that's not a way to play football games. That's not a way to set yourself up for success in the NFL, to resurge every fourth quarter. You can't live in the fourth quarter. What are your thoughts? Like, just temperature check. We already had this conversation, but temperature check on Jalen Hurts after that game.
It's really no different than what we talked about last week, Kate. It's like, you know, he's going to put up fantasy points and it's not going to be pretty. You're going to have to kind of cover your eyes a little bit as it's going on, but I think he's going to finish as, I don't know, at worst, the top six fantasy quarterback this year, probably. But the concern if you're a dynasty player is how many years of starting opportunity is he going to get? Or is a team eventually going to give up on him? Is somebody going to trade for him? I think he's performed well enough in his limited starts that I think he's going to continue to get chances. So I'm not too worried about it. But I am a little concerned after what we saw last night.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something to keep an eye on. Just again, I mean, he's very young into his career. I think we forget because of the fact that he was around the team last season. He didn't start until late. But just because he was present and around, I think we forget that he's actually kind of still a rookie, basically.
Yeah. I want to talk about a different player really quickly.
Okay.
Miles Sanders, Kate. Yes. This one's just kind of sad because they're just not using him against Tampa Bay. 9 carries for 56 yards. Like, he's effective when they use him, 2 for 10 in the passing game. But in his last 8 games, Kate, in all games that he's started, 89 carries, which is 11.1 carries per game, 391 rushing yards and 1 touchdown. What are we doing with Miles Sanders? That's so gross.
I don't know what to make of this. For me, as a dynasty manager, going back to my player evaluation of Miles Sanders, like, my issue with him had always been the concern regarding workload. Obviously we saw a coaching change in Philly, which gave us a clean slate there, and gave us some hope that we might see a Miles Sanders resurgence. If I'm a dynasty manager, I'm buying Miles Sanders wherever I can get him, because on the limited touches he is seeing, he looks fantastic.
He does.
The stat line is so deceiving. Obviously the box score isn't, because you're seeing how limited touches, how few touches he's getting. But I mean, Miles Sanders is a screaming buy You know, considering the low touch volume, if he gets a second contract, if he gets traded somewhere, this dude is going to have so much value. He's only 24 years old. Again, very limited touches so far in his career, but he's looked good when he's had the opportunity to have those touches.
All right, so let's do some straight up rankings, and you tell me where you're going to place Miles Sanders, because it's not been great this year. You really not wanted him in your lineup at all. But according to Dynasty League Football, these are some running backs that are being ranked behind him and drafted behind him. So Darrell Henderson.
I will take Miles Sanders.
Okay. James Robinson.
Oof. I will take Miles Sanders.
Okay. Tony Pollard.
That one's close.
That one's close.
Miles Sanders.
Okay. AJ Dillon.
Miles Sanders.
Okay. So you're still pretty high on Miles Sanders. Let's see if some of the guys ahead of him. Kareem Hunt.
I'll take Hunt.
Yeah, I'd take Hunt as well. Josh Jacobs.
Miles Sanders.
Okay. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Well, we'll get to it in just a second. So don't say too much on this one.
Okay. That one's pretty tough for me. I think I go Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Okay. But that's close.
I'm looking at some trades right now in Dynasty League Football. If you are interested in Miles Sanders, you can get him pretty cheaply. I'm seeing some trades. Amari Cooper straight up for Miles Sanders. J.K. Dobbins for Miles Sanders is a really interesting trade. Ramondre Stevenson and Khalil Herbert for Miles Sanders.
Wow.
Jalen Waddle for Miles Sanders. So if you still believe in the talent, and maybe Philly's not the right spot for him, maybe he eventually gets moved to a team that uses him more. I think there's a good buy now window. The last thing, Kate, I just wanted to bring up to you really quickly is Antonio Brown. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts were from last night, but I think to me, it's pretty clear. He's the number one receiver on this team with Tom Brady. Like, as much as I love Mike Evans, and I think Mike Evans is probably more talented now, and I think Chris Godwin is more talented, it's just clear that Tom Brady loves him some Antonio Brown. Through five games, he is 418 yards, four touchdowns. He's averaging about 84 yards a game, just under a touchdown per game. He didn't miss week three, by the way. But this is somebody who's on pace for like 1,300 yards and double-digit touchdowns.
Antonio Brown is the clear-cut wide receiver one. He's got so much chemistry with Tom Brady, and he's been seeing so much of that target share, which has been a target share from Tom Brady. That is coveted stuff there. Looking back through the last two seasons, he's played 12 games, 13 if you're including last night. But in the 12 games before we saw week six, Thursday Night Football, he was a wide receiver one in 33% of those. And he was coming off the couch. I can't stress this enough, what a full off season and like an actual timeline for preparation with your quarterback can do. He has scored fewer than 10 PPR points in just four of those 12 games. Very safe floor.
Yeah.
It's really, I think Antonio Brown moving forward is a must start. But I think the interesting conversation is, how do we evaluate him? Because he is performing like a wide receiver one. He's performing like Antonio Brown.
It's really difficult because how long is he going to be there? Like, is he going to be there next year when Tom Brady comes back, or assuming Tom Brady does come back, or do they decide to just keep Godwin and Evans? I don't know. My guess is that Brown will be back. I don't think the market's going to be very big for him for a variety of reasons. So I'm pretty bullish on Brown. I think he's one of the safer receivers we have right now because of the target share, because of who he's getting those targets from. I'm buying Antonio Brown, Kate, and I really have never said that before because I'm not an Antonio Brown fan.
All right. So say I'm a contender, which I am in a couple of my dynasty leagues. What are you paying for Antonio Brown? Because, you know, it might just be a 1 to 2 year loaner. You know, we don't know how long he'll continue this. He doesn't even have a contract through the end of this year. But what are you paying if you're in a good spot for Antonio Brown?
So I'm looking at some trades right now from Dynasty League Football. And the price is not as expensive as you would think. A 2022 second round pick. Like, sure, if I'm getting a wide receiver one for the rest of the season, I'll give up that right in a heartbeat. Corey Davis, straight up. Give me Antonio Brown, right? Like those are no brainers to me. This one's a little bit more interesting. Antonio Brown for Brandon Cooks, straight up.
Ooh,
because Cooks.
If I'm in a, Cooks has been good, but if I'm in like a win now window, I think the safest asset, given the offense, given the quarterback situation, is going to be Antonio Brown.
How about this? Is another really good one that happened over the week. Antonio Brown for Kadarius Toney. I think I'd rather have Toney. I just because I think the ceiling is so high for Toney, but that one's close, and it depends on if you think you have a chance to win your league this year.
Yeah, I think that one comes down to just how close you are to sniffing that championship. But honestly, like the evaluation for Antonio Brown just seems to be all over the place. In looking at these trades. So
I got another really good one. A really, really good one. This one happened yesterday.
Okay.
Antonio Brown for Juju Smith-Schuster, who we know is out for the rest of the year. So basically, if you are trading for Juju, the belief is, number one, that he moves on to a different team, right? Like, let's say he goes to Kansas City or he goes somewhere, or he comes back and Aaron Rodgers is playing in Green Bay, right? Like, that's the hope. That one's not happening. I'm just saying. Antonio Brown seems like you can get him for a second round pick. Like, I think that's kind of the going rate right now. I think that's a fair price.
Yeah, and I would send a second rounder for Antonio Brown if I'm a contending team. I'm going to send a second rounder 10 times out of 10 and get back that value on AB.
I 100% agree. All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you guys about BetOnline. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. All right, Kate, this is an interesting week because we've got some players that are going to be starting really for the first time in their career on some offenses that I think are pretty decent. And let's start with Darrell Williams. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to miss the next 3 weeks after, I believe, hurting his knee. Yeah, he has an MCL sprain. It's a big opportunity for Darrell Williams. So how are you expecting him to perform this week? What do you think his long-term value is in Kansas City?
So in all, I actually have Darrell Williams in several dynasty leagues, and I've put him on the trade block in every single one of them. I think this is a great sell window, Darrell Williams, though I think this could be an interesting opportunity for him in a real life football sense. I do think that, I mean, we have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is going to be locked into the role. He's got the draft capital. He's got that investment. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine that we're going to have a fourth year breakout. It's not like the Chiefs haven't seen this player. He's been involved in the offense this is his fourth year in the league. He's not been absent, averaging just 3.8 yards per attempt this season. He does have two touchdowns, which is fantastic considering his limited touch count. But my concern here comes from the fact that if we know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has the skill set that he does, and we haven't seen the usage that we desire, I'm not convinced that Darrell Williams will get that special treatment.
Neither am I. And it's not a situation where this is like a great athlete coming into a high-powered offense, right? The offense is going to be good, but he ran like a 4.72 at the...
He's
the
no O.J. Howard.
No. So he's just not a good athlete. I think he's going to be fine. Like, if you need an RB2 for the next couple of weeks, like I do in a couple of leagues, I picked him up across almost all my dynasty leagues. It's fine. But I don't think he's going to ever replace CEH. And I really doubt that he even does enough to really cut into his workload. I don't see that happening. It's just me. All right. So let's move on to the next one. This one is a lot more intriguing. It's Khalil Herbert. So David Montgomery is on the injured reserve list. His backup, Damian Williams, formerly of the Chiefs, is out this week due to COVID. Khalil Herbert's interesting. Do you think he's going to do enough this week against the Packers to have some long-term value?
I absolutely do. And yes, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And I am a little biased because I really, really liked Khalil Herbert coming out of Virginia Tech. Here's where I think like the kicker is. So everybody ran to the waiver wire or wherever you are in your leagues. Maybe you went to try to trade for him this week. Your trade window was last week because he had very quietly outperformed the backup running back. A big surprise. He outperforms old vet Damian Williams. He saw 18 carries, averaged 4.1 yards per carry. He wasn't overly efficient, but he saw 18 carries. And this is one of the most run heavy offenses in the NFL. Imagine if you don't have Damian Williams in there to snipe some of those carries off. I do think that we are going to see a really, really nice showing from Khalil Herbert. He's a guy that I'm elevating from my bench, hashtag promotion commotion. He's a guy that I'm perfectly fine elevating. But once we see David Montgomery back, I think that gets complicated again. But Khalil Herbert is one of these guys that if you weren't able to acquire him before the season, you didn't draft him, you didn't trade for him ahead of this news. Once the depth chart recomplicates, once Damian Williams is back, once David Montgomery is back, there's your buy window again. Because I do think Khalil Herbert, he had a monster final season. He's a very talented running back, I think, and he's a pure buy. Can't believe he fell to the sixth round. It's insane.
I agree with you. I think Herbert's a good buy as well. It doesn't cost a lot to go get him. I think that's a smart move. Now, even if you know that he's going to be part of a committee for the next couple of weeks, once Damian Williams comes back, I think Herbert's a good one. The last one that I want to give you is Samaje Perine. Look, I know that you're not the biggest Joe Mixon fan. I think he's incredibly talented, but Mixon seems like to me, he's one of these players when he's healthy, super dynamic. But once the injury seal is broken, he really never can get back to that level. Like, and we're already seeing it. Like, he played last week, limited on Wednesday, didn't practice on Thursday, and it doesn't sound like he's going to practice on Friday. And that means there's a chance that he misses this game against Detroit. The other thing is, Kate, like, Samaje Perine's pretty good. Like, even last week, did not start. He had 11 carries for 59 yards, 4 for 24 in a touchdown. I just think he's a really good player that you can get basically for nothing right now. And I think over the course of the next 10 games, he's probably going to start 5 of them. And when he plays, he's going to be a high-end RB2. Are you a believer in Samaje Perine?
This one's tough for me. And this actually sort of is an interesting conversation because I'm not a Joe Mixon fan. I'm just not a fan of the run game with this team in general. Though they have been running it at a pretty high rate, the issue with me comes off of efficiency. We've seen Joe Mixon get an incredible, incredible amount of touches, week 5 excluded due to that injury. But he's gotten the touches, he's gotten the workload, and we still haven't seen him hit that ceiling in fantasy football. If you're banking on Samaje Perine, I think you're banking on him to be more efficient, at least from a fantasy football standpoint, than Joe Mixon. Despite the fact that he's the RB14 on the season, Joe Mixon ranks as the RB56 in terms of fantasy points per touch. He's been less efficient with those touches than Alvin Kamara, David Montgomery, Michael Carter, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who we all left for dead. Less efficient than James Conner with his touches. James Conner gets the touchdowns, but I mean, that's sort of been the issue with Joe Mixon. So the question comes down to, for me, do you think Samaje Perine can be more efficient with the touches than Joe Mixon has been? And I'm not sure about that.
I think he can be, Kate, because he's proven that he is more efficient. In his last 13 games with the Bengals, he's averaging almost 5 yards per carry and 7.2 yards per reception. So, like, whenever he plays, he's pretty good. And I do think there's going to be, like, as I mentioned, at the top several games where he's the starting running back. Wouldn't even be surprised if we see other ones where, you know, Mixon is banged up. And that could even be this week where, hey, Mixon is pretty compromised. He's going to get his 12 touches. And the other 15 are going to go to Perine, and then he ends up becoming a startable player. I think Perine is a guy that if you really need running back help, you can buy on the cheap, and he's going to be just fine for you.
Yeah, I think he's definitely an interesting – I think he's an interesting depth piece because if Joe Mixon is out, like I said, the issue for me has not been the touches. It's been the inefficiency, but – when we're in the nitty gritty of a season like this, touches matter. Touches matter a lot. And if you do, you know, if they're not really going to give Joe Mixon the time to fully heal up, I think if they keep getting him out there, limited touches, you know, we might actually see Samaje Perine come into a bigger role. And looking at the trades right now, these are all in October. Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine for 2 first-round picks. I think that's pretty decent value, even though I'm not the biggest Samaje Perine fan. We have Quintez Cephus and a 2022 4th-round pick for Samaje Perine and Mecole Hardman. Sorry, a 5th-round pick for Samaje Perine. That's a pretty low price to pay, because honestly, a lot of these 5th-round picks that you're going to be taking in the years to come are not going to have the chance to happen upon a workload as significant as Perine could see in the absence of Joe Mixon.
I like it. I think that's a good call. All right, let's take one more quick break before we get to promotion commotion. So I can tell you guys about Built Bar. You guys know Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar out there. It's hard to even explain it. It's real chocolate with amazing flavors. It's just a great combination of low calories, high protein, and low sugar with no crazy additives. Best of all, they taste fantastic. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next box at BuiltBar.com. All right, Kate, it's time for some promotion commotion. And are we allowed to pat ourselves on the back a little bit? Just once?
Yes,
last week, I gave you the grossest name ever to start in your flex spot if you needed somebody. Do you remember who that was? It's Tavon Austin.
I don't. Tavon. Oh, that's right.
Austin got you a solid 10.5 PPR points last week. So if you needed a guy, it was awful, but he did it for you. 5 for 55. So there you go. Also played a ton. So let's give some guys this week that we think, you know, you could pull off your waivers, off deep into your bench and into your starting lineups if you need somebody. Who do you got?
So this is me fishing in shallow waters here for a second, but I want to give a vote of confidence to fantasy managers with Mecole Hardman, who, I mean, it, like, had a decent outing against the Bills. But, I mean, so far on the season, he's been on the field. On pace for just 70 catches, 637 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. That's not what you want out of Mecole Hardman. But I am going to give the vote of confidence that I do think he's going to have a really nice week against the Washington football team. He's currently being started in just 25% of sleeper leagues. I do think that should be higher this week. I do think you should elevate him. From the Washington football team, we have just seen so much production through the air. Tertiary wide receivers are being productive with this defense. They just can't cover anybody. We saw 2 long bomb touchdowns, 1 to Marquez Callaway, 1 to Deontay Harris last week. You know, everybody's sort of getting theirs in this offense. Or against this defense, I think that this could be an opportunity just to see a nice, solid game, and he's coming off of a 12 target outing, which that's pretty hard to beat. I don't know if we'll see 12 targets on a week-to-week basis, but I do think that he's a nice start coming into this week.
I like that one. I got a running back for you. If you're really desperate, Sony Michel isn't a bad option this week. The Giants just gave up 200 rushing yards to the Cowboys. Michel has seen double-digit carries in 3 of the last 4 games. Against the Seahawks, he had 11.5 points. He did score a touchdown. The efficiency is just not going to be there. But if the Rams get up in this game and they just want to pound the ball and get out of there, I think Sony Michel could see enough volume if you're really short on running backs, because maybe you had David Montgomery or maybe you had Clyde Edwards-Helaire and it's the bye weeks and you just need a guy. I think Sony Michel, who is available just about on every single waiver wire, could give you some help.
Absolutely. I'm going for a tight end here. I'm going with Ricky Seals-Jones versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I think, this is a player that was available on most of my dynasty rosters or dynasty leagues on waivers. Even in my tight end premium leagues, he had been available. So you definitely haven't promoted this guy yet. But in the absence of Logan Thomas, he's run the 6th most routes in weeks 4 and 5 among all tight ends. He's played 93% of the snaps in 1 week, 99% of offensive snaps in the other. Didn't have a mega monster week in week 5, 8 targets, 5 receptions for 41 yards. But the Chiefs have allowed the 4th most passing yards, 3rd most net yards gained per pass attempt. They're allowing a league high for 54.2% of their offensive drives are ending in a touchdown against the Chiefs defense. I think this is a great opportunity. And I think this is, again, a vote of confidence that it seems that he is kind of the auto start replacement for Logan Thomas managers.
I like it. That's a good one. Ricky Seals-Jones was a pretty common pickup this week in redraft leagues and some dynasty leagues, but he's still out there in the majority of leagues. I think that's a good call. I'll give you one last one, Kate. I like to go with the absolute worst ones. John Ross. He had a big game against the Saints, 3 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. Last week against Dallas, 1 for 13. However, he had a play where he actually caught a ball in the end zone. It was ruled a touchdown, and after review, they determined that he juggled it just enough to not be ruled a touchdown. He did see 5 targets, and I think the Rams are going to be leading a lot. So the Giants are going to have to throw the ball. We'll see about the status of Kenny Golladay. Barkley's not going to play. Slayton's probably out. Sterling Shepard's probably out. I think he's going to see 4 or 5 targets again, and all it takes is 1 deep ball down the field in this game. You could do worse than John Ross this week. Couldn't do much worse, but you could do worse.
How's that? I think that's the perfect way to close out the show with a start of the week that disgusting. You've earned this, Marcus.
I cannot wait till the breakout performance of 14 points. It's going to be so much fun. That is it for today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you can download the show wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Check us out on YouTube, as Kate mentioned at the top of the show. You can follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnDynasty. You can follow Kate at FFBallBlast, and I'm at Marcus_Mosher. Enjoy week 6. We'll see you next time.